Ghosts and Apparitions, First Part, Necessary Context. Hello again, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are all doing very well. I am Marie Soiru. This subject is not an absolute, so these are some of the concepts which I understand, yet I'm perfectly aware that there are many mysteries around this subject. And it is so beautiful that many of them still remain unsolved. Directly said, they are real, they are not products of imagination, nor are they hallucinations induced by fungus in the humid walls of an old house, or by electromagnetic fields in the area, natural or artificial, as many researchers claim. Science on Earth, at the level people understand it to be, the visible public level, can detect at least some of those manifestations we call ghosts and apparitions. Good cameras with infrared and ultraviolet sensitivity can detect and capture images of ghosts, and several highly sensitive microphones and sound systems can also capture noises coming from them, and when recorded they are sometimes called psychophonies. Science on Earth at a military, or at a secret higher level which the public is not informed about, can detect things in the lower astral highly efficiently, and the even higher non-human technology, such as the one the Tejitans use, among other star races, can fully scan and even map the lower astral and what lives in it. So moving that out of the way, yes, the lower astral full of its ghosts and entities is there, it exists, and it interacts with the so-called world of the living, or material realms of existence. But besides all those lower astral entities, tulpas, and egregores which sometimes can even be classified as demons due to their aggressive nature, what are ghosts and apparitions specifically? What is the difference between an evil lower astral entity and a ghost? Some evil entities are ghosts, but not all ghosts are evil entities, as a ghost may be defined as the astral body of someone who was once alive and has now become a disincarnate, and in its process of realizing that he or she is dead, and as part of their path back to source. An evil entity may be the result of a bad person who died or may be the result of an egregore collective creation. The whole world and the whole universe is a product of consciousness, and what defines consciousness quite well is thought. Thoughts are things in the making, everything that ever existed, exists, and will ever exist was once a thought. If a thought or an idea is given enough attention and is a constant, it will start to become something material. Thoughts and concepts that are held strongly and with much emotional attachment become hard matter, and situations as well. Thoughts become things through the actions of one or more beings who are holding them strongly and repetitively. Many beings who hold the same thoughts manifest into reality and hard matter, their collective thoughts very easily as they combine their creative energy, but one being is enough to manifest any idea into reality. In the creation of anything, in the manifestation process of anything, it is not so much about how many individuals or souls intervene in such a creation, it is more about how strong the thought may be. One single individual with a very strong intention can create more than a large group of weaker-minded people, because manifestation is about mind and soul power, not about quantity, and by soul power I mean how strong a connection to source may be. This is why I've said before that one single strong high vibration starseed affects and transforms a very large area and everything and everyone in it, by simply existing there, and even more if it holds the intention to elevate the frequency of that entire area the starseed lives in. When a person with a connection to source dies, it withdraws its attention from the idea, and from the concept of having a material body, a body which it manifested for itself, by the way. The material world is slow and pasty, as many have described it to be. This causes things to manifest slowly, And that's why many times our wishes take time to manifest into reality, to the point where many people even start to doubt the law of attraction. And the reason the material world is slow is because of the concept of time the living have agreed to perceive as a collective. On Earth, for example, people perceive time in a fairly similar way, because they are all conditioned to live by the clock to be able to coordinate with other individuals during their mutual activities. Time and clocks there function as a metronome to synchronize the perception of everyone living in that realm. When a soul is experiencing time in the material realms and then dies, the perception of time creates a separation between both realms. What happens in the material world desynchronizes with what happens in the astral, creating the idea of manifestation being slow in the material world and fast in the astral. Although anyone can escape from that time perception limiting concepts and be able to manifest anything as fast in the material realm as well, as we have said before, the only thing that limits you is the idea that you are limited. This creates a perceptual separation between both realms at death. The difference between the temporal experience on one side and on the other creates the very concept of there being two sides, the material world and the spiritual or astral worlds. This is because all thoughts from the inner point of view of who is experiencing them also hold a temporal sequence. A living biological body is the manifestation of the concepts a soul holds about itself. It is the result of the ideas a soul holds, and is attached to, about what it is and what defines it as an individual. The evolution of a body, since it is born, as it lives and ages, and as it grows sick and dies, is the result of the strong ideas, of the belief system such an individual has grown attached to, and the causes and effects which result from their actions and lifestyle, as well as the self-defining concepts the individual holds as how he or she would look like and be like at each age. The attachment to the ideas of the collective unconscious in which an individual lives in will form the sequence of physical changes its body will go through, such as maturing, aging, and the degenerative processes which ultimately will lead it to its death. In other words, being alive in a material body, living, maturing, aging and dying, are nothing but the result of the manifestation of the concepts and ideas a soul has grown attached to, and therefore thinks should be one way and not another. There is no material world, as I've said before, as it is only the result, or the manifestation of a group of ideas and the attachments souls hold onto, all while still existing in the astral. That is why I have defined the material world as only what can be understood and perceived through the five or six senses of a biological body, including anything else technology can help it perceive, because it is still being understood and perceived through that body. When the physical body dies, the attention of the soul cannot flow through that point of attention, because its systems have stopped working. Yet that soul still holds an attachment to a lot of the concepts which defined it when alive, and this attachment will still be able to manifest a body which looks much like when that individual was alive, and it is called the astral body. And this is the body form which can be artificially trapped, as seen in many rituals, but only as long as that soul with an astral body still thinks it is trapped. When the material body dies, the soul still is manifesting its astral equivalent with which it can still roam the world of the living, before returning to higher astral realms, or source. Only when a soul and its astral body are in a very low vibration, full of fear of being punished for bad things it has done in life, will it fall into the lower astral realms. And if its frequency is low enough, it may remain there indefinitely with little to no connection to source, only being able to continue existing when being fed energy in the shape of a tulpa or egregore, with this becoming an entity. When a soul in its astral body has enough willpower and attachments to people, things or places it knew when alive, it may have enough energy to interact with the material world, it may be able to concentrate enough energy to move something, or it may have enough energy to semi-materialize into something visible by a live person. As I've explained before, everything is frequency and vibration, and when there is a match then they will become part of the same realm, therefore they will be compatible to experience one another. No one with a soul ever gets lost and trapped in the lower astral, it may be there for some time, while it processes what happened, but every real soul will always return to source, because a soul is source itself, so it cannot be lost. To be continued in the second part, I cannot publish it complete, because I'm still writing this subject. I publish as I write, most of you already know this. Thank you for watching my video and for liking and subscribing for more if you see this content as valuable to you. And I hope to see you here next time. Take care and be very well. With much love. Your friend, Marie Soirou.